If you hear this sound, that means this episode is also featured on our YouTube channel as a video. Head over to www.youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast to check it out.
Warning, this episode contains foul language and is generally pretty tame, actually.
Watching Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things creepy, unsolved, out of this world, unthinkable, strange, and everything in between. Each week we sit down together from across the country and we talk about something weird. And this week, as we jump into some more of our outstanding and splendidly superb segments, it is going to get extra weird because we are bringing you some mysteries, a gosh dang apocalyptic event that could blow your mind, a creative question that will show us who we really are as people, and a look into a possible monster sighting. It's going to be bizarre, a little freaky, and a big old blasty blast on another marvelous episode of your favorite pod, Keep It Weird. My name is Lauren, and this is my lovely co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
Hello.
Hi, weirdos.
Welcome back. Hey,
hope
weirdos, don't
well.
You know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
So this
Welcome
is officially,
back.
It is not for us. We are in the past. But for you guys, it is June. Happy June.
Happy June.
Happy
what a
June,
time.
Fellas and ladies, fellas and in between.
Ladies, fellas, all the something. There's a song. Anyway, but hi,
well,
happy June.
Hi.
I felt like it was just April, so don't know how we're
yeah.
here, but welcome.
Truly. Welcome. Don't know what happened. I even like last episode, I was saying, I was like, our newsletter. And then I was like, I haven't even started on it. What's the date? It's the 22nd. It's the 23rd.
I know. And in my head,
God
I was like,
me.
It's still mid-May. It's like the 15th. But no, it's
negative.
The 20th.
No. No.
Can't keep
keeps
up with
on
life.
Slipping, slipping, slipping.
Into
the
future.
The
future.
Question. Was that
yeah.
song a song before Space Jam?
That's a great question.
Or was it written for Space Jam? I only know it from Space Jam.
From Space Jam. I mean, same, but also I was a child, so like I don't know what
yeah,
was happening in the
I
world
know.
Of music. Like, it was released before. Like, I
didn't
know
what was happening in the world of music, in the world of basketball. The only thing I knew about basketball was that Michael Jordan played,
yeah.
and those other guys,
and those other people were sometimes on the court,
Patrick Ewing,
and that
Charles
he was
Barkley,
terrible at
and
golf.
The others, and that he was good at golf. He was bad at baseball.
Oh, good. Bad at baseball. That's what it was. Yeah. Actually yeah. really good at golf. Okay. Correct. And I really enjoyed Looney Tunes. And that was
yeah,
it.
Same.
That was my life.
Yeah. So. I never saw the new one.
Me either, actually. And it's not that
you
I'm
have
against.
A child. You'd think that
I know.
You would
He doesn't
in.
Care. Maybe as he's older, I feel like that's still above him. Any
that's
movie
true.
Is. The child will not sit still for a movie. And like so many friends have invited us to see movies of like, I think 4 years old, that's the age. Like, you can totally see a movie. And you can. I saw a movie when I was four. But homeboy cannot sit still for longer than 15
wild,
minutes.
Man.
So I was like, I'm not going to do that to myself. I'd have to chase
yeah.
him up and down the aisles. So we're going to wait.
That's why YouTube is so great.
And that's
for children
why
his age.
Short little vids. He gets
mm-hmm.
gets what he needs.
He gets all that info.
Yay.
Okay, let's get
Screen
right into
time.
It.
Okay.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel hungry.
Same.
I'm actually very hungry.
Hungry and a little sleepy
a little
at the end
sleepy?
Of the world.
A little sleepy.
Little hunky. A lot of things that we talk about on the show make me feel nice. They make me feel like everything is going to work out, like something out there is looking out for me, like the world is magic. And then there's this segment, but worry not, because I researched this until I felt better.
Okay. You made sure there was something good at the end.
I could not put it down until I found out that I was safe. Because it scared me. So, today I'm talking about the Carrington event. Yes. It happened in 1859. It was the most intense geomagnetic storm in recorded history. It peaked on the 1st of September with the energy of 10 billion atomic bombs. Called the Carrington event because it was observed and recorded by British astronomers Richard Christopher Carrington and Richard Hogsden, and it was our first record of a solar flare. Now.
Wow. First record. Well, I guess, yeah, long time ago. Okay.
Yeah. So this geomagnetic storm was so massive that it caused auroral displays globally, which I'm sure was very pretty, but it also caused sparking and fires in multiple telegraph stations across Europe and North America, causing telegraph systems to completely fail, and in some cases, even giving their operators electric shocks.
Oh, the poor operators.
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello, can you hear
me? Yes, you're a little choppy, but you're back. It told me you left the room.
Yeah, it said no internet connection, which is a bold-faced lie. And
have we been hit with a solar flare? Like, what is going on?
We might have been hit with a solar flare. Okay, so then we'll just continue on and hope that the beginning wasn't cut off. But, okay. So in some cases, it gave the operators electric shocks. So if you're working in a telegraph station, you were electrocuted.
That is crazy. Like, that you could just get shocked while you're just trying to connect people to their loved ones. Poor things.
You're just doing your job. You're just clocked in. Anyways, this was 1859, so the damage was fairly low. Okay. Now, if a geomagnetic storm this big would happen today, it would cause widespread electrical disruptions and power outages, blackouts, and damage to our power grids. Which
we could not survive.
Is unfortunate for every person on Earth.
Truly every
person.
So learning this,
I was like, hello? Yeah, like, hello?
Why is no one worried about this? Sound the alarms.
Call the cops. So I had to go research storms like this and how likely it is for it to happen again in my
lifetime.
Okay,
tell me something good because I'm nervous.
And here is what I learned. So solar flares occur when electromagnetic radiation erupts from the sun. The bursts often last a few minutes, but sometimes they can be longer. And not every solar flare on the sun is going to affect us. Like if it happens in any spot that isn't currently facing Earth, we won't know what happened at all. Even if it does happen on the side facing us, the direction of the burst often misses us because relatively we're a pretty small target and we're very far away. So for example, in 2001, one of the largest solar flares in recorded history exploded and burst out at a speed of 4.5 million miles per hour, but it just whiffed right past us, made its way out into space. Right. Who knows where it landed, which is comforting.
Sure.
Obviously, our history of recording these flares and storms is relatively short. But we've been able to find evidence of them happening through tree trunks.
What?
Like the rings on a tree.
Right, knowing it's, because you can tell its age by the rings. And so do they get like broken up
and
by?
You can tell different, I don't know exactly how it works. But you can tell different things. Like you can tell when an ice age happened on a ring of a tree. You can tell, you know what I mean? Like if they're fucking old trees. Not the ice age, but you can tell when like certain events happen on the rings of a tree. Apparently, there was a sunstorm in 993 AD that archaeologists were able to find evidence of in tree trunks, and they still use those tree trunks to this day to date ancient wood materials. Wow. And it was actually one of the ways that they were able to find out that there was a Viking settlement in the Americas.
Oh my goodness. Whoa. All by a tree.
Blew my mind.
Trees are magic.
All goodness. By a tree. They've also, and please do not ask me how, because I am just not smart enough to tell you, but they were able to take ice core samples that showed them that the Carrington event was twice as big as any other solar storm, at least in the last 500
twice
years.
Twice as big.
So it was a real big
Damn,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a real okay. big one. There was also a geomagnetic storm in March of 1989 that knocked out the power grids in Quebec and New England. The power was down for 9 hours, and power transformers even melted due to an overloading of electricity in the grid.
My goodness.
And just like last week when you talked about the death fog and how... because it happened, and after it happened, we were able to, like, make all of these laws to help us. It was because of that event in 1989, infrastructure planners started paying attention and started taking it into consideration. Mm-hmm. So power companies began building safety measures like trip wires programmed into transformers so the damage is limited to them.
Okay.
They won't just, like, melt and not right. exist. And even... our satellites have a little protection. If they've been built in the last 3 decades, they've been built specifically so that they are resistant to overcharging electricity-wise.
Okay.
So
they'll be able to handle it.
These storms could take out our satellites, but at this point, since so many of them were built and thrown up there in the last 34 years, it shouldn't affect enough GPS satellites to cause major issues.
Fingers crossed. Whew. Ashley, you were so
That's
right.
A relief.
I needed the relief because that just, it sounds
I
so terrifying. Truly the end of the world as we know it.
Refused to stop reading about this until I figured mm-hmm. it out. I also found out not all impacts of a large solar flare would necessarily be negative to our planet.
Tell
which
me
is
more.
Like, thanks, universe.
Gifting us.
You made a real nice little place for us here. So you really did a good job with
Thanks
this place. Apparently, when sun storms occur facing us, they actually thicken the density of Earth's upper atmosphere. Okay. So this can cause some problems with the orbits of satellites, but it can also affect the orbits of space debris floating up around there. Mm. So that extra little oomph could cause the space junk to fall into orbit and burn up and would clear out our airspace, which is not
yeah,
a negative thing.
We're
at
here
all.
For that. Love that.
And some real world ways that we can see electromagnetic storms happening. Sun storms also increase the visibility of aurora borealis, which we just
so
love
beautiful
here on
bucket
planet
list.
Earth. We fucking
gotta see
love
yep.
the aurora borealis, and like the Carrington event, it makes the aurora visible in other places. Like in October of 2021, the aurora could be seen in New York,
Whoa.
And it was visible in southern Illinois this past April, as in last month, April. But there was too much light pollution where I was to get a look-see. But I know some people in like further down in like the middle of nowhere could
That's
see it.
So
and that
cool.
was also caused by a strong geomagnetic storm.
Mm. So they bring in the goods.
Lovely.
Bring in some fun.
Some things are good.
Okay.
And then finally, there was a study published in 2019 that found the chances of another Carrington-like event occurring before 2029 at less than 1.9%.
Once again, oh my goodness. Okay.
Thank God.
We can carry on with our lives, thank goodness. Because you're right, that does sound
we can carry
absolutely
on,
terrifying. And it would be the end of the world
yeah.
because like we couldn't do anything without our power grids. And I'd be scared.
I'm pretty sure I brought this up on a past episode of the show. There's a book that was written... I was in college or junior college. It was called One Second After. And it's about what would happen to this family that it follows if EMPs were dropped over the United States.
Mm.
So if all of our electricity was knocked out. And there's no coming back from it. There's no, like, just restart it.
Like, you're
like,
done.
There's, like, you're it's fried. Done. It's gone.
It's over.
And there's so many things that you don't think about. Like, if you have diabetes, your medication has to be refrigerated.
Right. And there goes your refrigerator.
If there's no power, you don't have a refrigerator. You can't make ice. You can't, you know. So in this story, the story was, it was absolutely terrifying. There's no clean water. There's no way to communicate. Our vehicles wouldn't work.
Like, everything we rely on.
I can't think about it.
It's, I know. Yeah. I was like, that's starting to make me like curl up inside. That is so scary.
Sorry. Yeah.
oh my gosh.
It makes me so anxious when I think about it. That would be so much worse than getting hit with like an atomic bomb. Atomic bomb, at least you're,
you know what? It's over. You're done. Gone. You don't have to put up with anything.
It's over. You can fly off to heaven.
But this,
if you're just stuck here,
trapped.
And we know we're not going to react well. It's not like we're all going to like join hands and work
it's
together.
Definitely not going to be kumbaya and teamwork. It's going to be fighting to the death. Well, because we're all going to be riled up because we're going to lose our loved ones who have medical conditions who die like quicker. And then we're just going to be filled with rage. Everyone's going to come at each other. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I'm just like imagining the movie script, but also the terror that this would be.
Cheer us up. Cheer us up. Distract us. Distract us. Distract us from the possibility.
Let's get out of here. Okay. I'm going to bring us... Ooh, this one... It feels weird calling it fun. It's not fun, but no one dies. So, for me, that's super huge. It's a combo of unsolved mystery and Australian news.
Australian news. Wait, no.
Aussie.
Get it right.
Aussie.
We had a listener write in and tell us, Brooke Shell. Thank you so much for the correction. It is not Australian news. It's Aussie news.
Aussie. Aussie news. She even added N-E-U-R-S as a way to say it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Okay, we're going to get it.
But yes, also credit to my husband who works with a bunch of Aussies, and he always says it the right way, and I think in my head, like, I'm dumb. So thank you to Brooke and kind of Alex. Anyway, unsolved mystery meets Aussie nurse. This is the story of the bizarre Trump, not Trump, I need that to be very clear, T-R-O-M-P, Trump, family road trip. So, by all accounts, the Trump family was your normal, hardworking Australian family. Mark Trump, the father, age 51, and his wife, Jacoba, age 53. They ran a farm. They had an earth-moving business. They lived on this property in Sylvan, and they were totally normal. They had three children, lots of friends, living the dream. Their three children who... at the time of this event, which I'll get to like the date and everything in a minute, but at the time were adults. There was Rihanna, age 29, Mitchell, age 25, and Ella, age 22. All three worked on the family's farm to help out. Again, like totally normal. But on Monday, August 29th, 2016, so a little more recent, the entire Trump family inexplicably left their farm with no warning. They got into their car and they just headed north. It appeared as though they were fleeing from something or someone the way they quickly left and the way they left their house. And close friends and family quickly became worried after not being able to contact them at all and knowing that this was very out of character. So they phoned the police after a couple of days. Upon arriving at the family home for a wellness check or a check-in of any kind, the police found the Trump home in total disarray. It seemed like the family had been looking for something inside of their financial files, all of their records, because they were found spread out across the home in different rooms, just like every financial record thrown across the home. And they had also left behind their passports, credit cards, and cell phones, which is why no one could get in touch with them or see where they were at. If they had location sharing on, whatever. So it seemed like they wanted to be untraceable. They took a cash-only trip, but nobody knew where they went or why. Nobody, not a soul. Mitchell was the only one who brought a cell phone, one of the kids. But just a few miles away from the home, his family made him throw it out of the car window after apparently being convinced that it was being used to track them. So he threw it out and it was found not too far from the home. So they drive through the first day and night and reach the city of Bathurst, some 800 kilometers away, or about 500 miles. I always have to do the math. And it was there at 7 a.m. that Mitchell, who just had his cell phone checked out the window, decided to separate from his family. Because he's like, what's happening? He also is a little confused by the situation. Then later that same morning, the remaining four Tromp family members continue on their drive heading east. They were like, well, Mitchell's gone, but oh well. So that's even weirder. They continue on. They were heading to a popular tourist spot called the Genelon Caves, which from the pictures I've seen look very beautiful. I understand why it's a tourist spot. Upon arriving at the caves, Rihanna and Ella decide we want to part from her parents as well. And they did just that by stealing a car and fleeing from their parents. From there, the two sisters drive to the city of Goulburn and they report their parents missing once they get there, which, what? In Goulburn, Rihanna and Ella, while at a gas station, decide they're going to split up. The two of them. They had each other, but they're going to split up too. Ella reportedly mentioned wanting to go and feed the horses, and she was worried about the farm, so the two decide to separate. So after separating, Ella returns home and was the first family member to do so, and was greeted by the police upon arrival. And Mitchell arrived next, but the next day, 24 hours later. The two appeared to be unaffected by the family's sudden, what we can only say is a mental health crisis, nervous breakdown. Yeah. I don't know. Everything appeared to be normal. They were perplexed about the trip as well and said it was out of character for their parents, but they weren't traumatized. They were just sort of like, yeah, I don't know. We just went on a road trip. I don't really get it. And that was all they were giving, which makes zero sense. Rihanna, on the other hand, was not, and she was found in the back of a truck bed by a driver almost an hour away from home in a completely catatonic state. She claimed to not know her name or where she was, so she was not chill as her siblings were. She was not well. The frightened man who found her called the police, and she was immediately taken to Goulburn Hospital and was treated in the psychiatric ward. And eventually was able to kind of come to and come out of whatever she was in. So, and then there were two. All that was left still on the bizarre trip was Mark and Jacoba, the parents. And as public interest grew in this case, a search of the interstates began in hopes of finding their car, finding any kind of clue. So the pair do start to drive, as the story goes, the timeline. The pair drive back towards the Melbourne area from the Genelon Caves, and then they arrive in Wangaratta, which is over 600 kilometers or 370 miles away, and this is where they separated. So the two of them separate, the parents and after separated. Splitting up, yep, so everyone has separated at one point. So the married couple separates at this point when they're in Wangaratta. After splitting up, Jacoba headed north again, where they had just come from. They were supposedly on their way back, but then she goes up north again. And it is still unclear how, because when they split up, Mark took the car, but she somehow found her way. And she was found the next day wandering around. Hitchhiked had to be, but just like so terrifying. She was found the next day wandering around a town called, I'm sorry, I have to make a joke here. It's spelled Y-A-S-S. So all I can do is go, yas. She was found wandering around, yas. Yeah. 350 kilometers or 200-ish miles away. And was reportedly in a very agitated state. Also unwell. She was taken to a hospital for an evaluation and was eventually reunited with Rihanna, who was in Goulburn Hospital at the psych unit, and both received mental health treatment there. Mark Tromp had stayed behind in Wangaratta and was later spotted dangerously tailgating a young couple playing Pokemon Go at around 10 p.m. in the area. Just keeps getting weirder. The male in the couple reported that Mark was so close to him on the road that he could barely even see the headlights anymore. He was almost touching the car driving behind them. It was terrifying. Eventually, the male pulled the car over and Mark pulled over and stopped as well. He gets out of the car, runs towards them, stops in the middle of the road, and just stares at them through the window with a blank look on his face. And then after a few minutes, he runs off into a nearby park and vanishes. And that's all they see. And they speed off.
What the fuck?
Back. What? Back at home, Ella and Mitchell finally make an appearance on the news because word is starting to spread around. And they're very emotional. They explain that they are baffled by their parents' strange behavior. And they try to make an appeal for their father to return home. And they just want him home safe. Finally, after a six-day ordeal, Mark Trump was found by a road near the Wangaratta Airport. He was evaluated by a mental health officer and was released to the care of his brother, who was a police officer, and I guess was close enough to come and help him. So while being driven away, Mark flashes his middle finger to the media that is surrounding him during this rescue, and then he later on his first public... He later apologized. A couple days later, he did his first public appearance on the news, you know, to make his official statement. And he did apologize for his middle finger moment. And he thanked the community for their concern and getting the police involved, which I'm kind of like, I know you were told by somebody to apologize and thank them, but yeah, like, yeah, stick to your guns. Like, who cares? Police were never able to identify any threats against the Trump family. And nobody knows the reason for this bizarre road trip. No matter how much these people talk to therapists, to police, to family and friends, they all just kind of say, I don't know, it was weird, right? As if, like, they had an out-of-body experience. So no explanation has ever been given. Again, no evidence of a threat, an outside threat. No evidence of drug use or even abusing alcohol. Anything. Nothing was in their systems. And the family was not in a cult. They were not in a religious group.
Were any of their financials investigated? Like, were they doing something not so chill financially? And
no, because again, the financial records were out for the world to see
upon
the very first investigation of their home. Yeah, they were right out there. Nothing was weird. Nothing was out of sorts. I think like a regular amount of like the usual debt, you know, the payments on the farm, whatever, but everything was fine. The farm was run without any hiccups, anything strange that would be flagged. Like, everything was normal and is normal about this family. Because, again, none of them died. Nothing happened. We don't think they have any enemies. They're not in a cult. They don't belong to any kind of weird religious organization or church. It feels like what anyone can say. The only thing that people say is... maybe they suffered a breakdown and one of them or all of them were overwhelmed by paranoia, which was only fueled by each other. And it was this shared delusional moment, which I know there is a phenomenon called shared delusional disorder, where two people or sometimes more in this case, not really the whole family, because two of the kids were a little weirded out by it, but you kind of convince each other and start to share the paranoia in your brain after enough time of like, oh, I think this is happening to us. So it could have been delusion.
Even if it was a shared delusion, they should be able to remember what they were running from. They should be able to be like, yeah, for some reason, all of a sudden, we felt like we were being watched. We felt like this was happening. We felt that someone was coming for us. And we, they should be able to
explain the fear.
Discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you call it out and say, I'm schizophrenic and I sometimes get these moments and this is what I was experiencing. This is what I was hallucinating. And this is why I was scared. Yeah, and now I'm okay.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But they're all like,
weird.
Oh, baffling. It doesn't make, like, it makes no sense at all. And Ella and Mitchell, the two that returned home first and the ones who went on the news first, even to this day have told the press, like, I've never seen anything like this before. I don't know how to even explain what was happening and what we were feeling in that car because it's unexplainable. And for some reason, we all felt a fear in our lives and that we needed to flee, but we have no idea Why? And okay. I guess we'll just be couple forever theories. Confused.
One theory I have is that they killed someone and they disposed of the body, but they freaked out and they left. And then when they realized that no one was looking for them because the body wasn't found, they started slowly making their way back home. And then they were like, I don't know what happened. It was weird. But no one's come up missing. So maybe not. Another theory I have is that they were abducted by aliens at night. They live on a farm. Mm-hmm. That's prime alien abduction territory.
They wanted to take some aliens. Cows, as we discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then maybe, yeah, it's a Betty and Barney Hill thing where, like, Betty and Barney Hill didn't remember what happened to them until they got, maybe they need to be hypnotized.
I was going to say.
They didn't remember what happened to them. They just knew that things felt really bad and weird and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were scared.
We need hypnotherapy. They need to go under. They need to explore.
They need to get hypnotized.
Yeah. We need to explore what's back.
They need to get hypnotized. And maybe someone can, you know, unless they did something wrong. And we still haven't figured out what they did wrong.
We need to make this happen.
This is the weirdest story I've ever heard. I don't even know who. I can't. And the fact that they're all adults, too. Like that.
Yeah.
I could understand if they were younger children. Like, you would just go along with what your parents were saying.
Right.
Like, and your parents wouldn't even have to say anything. They would just be like, get in the car, we're leaving. But the fact that they were all, like, 22 to 29 years old, like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I can't defend them completely on that because I agree, you're an adult and you can make your own choices. But I will say how quickly just the next day, Mitchell was like, I'm out. So I wonder if he went along at first out of some kind of fear because his parents were flying off the handle and they're like, we have to get out of here right now. Don't ask any questions and get in the car. And he was just like, okay. But then maybe after 24 hours being with them,
he's like, this sucks. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. It's the weirdest thing I've ever read and that nobody knows what's going on. I don't know. Crazy.
Son of a bitch. Someone get a hold of these people. We need to find their social medias. I need to follow their every move. Do they have a TikTok?
Yep.
Do they have a blog I can read? Is there a documentary? I need to know everything about this case. It does not make any sense
to me at all. The Trump.
Especially since, like, no crime has been committed. Like, nothing bad happened.
Well,
so,
they
like,
stole,
it's just
the sisters
weird...
did steal a car. But yeah,
oh,
no
yeah,
one.
They stole cars. But,
no
like,
one was harmed, though.
Who gives a shit?
Relax, everyone. It's just a car.
Relax. Jesus. You got your car back. You know?
You're fine. Yeah. For
You're
sure.
fine.
So, yeah.
And now you have a cool story. You'd be like, remember the Tromps? Yeah, my car. That's the one they stole.
The Tromp sisters? That was my car. Can you
Tromp
believe
sisters?
It?
That was my car. That could That's be me. One of your, you know, like two lies, and two truths and a lie.
Yes. You're going to be a hit
Everyone's
at parties.
Everyone's going to say that's
so
a lie.
Fucking
yeah.
relax. Sit back.
You're welcome. Jesus Christ. Okay. Ooh, gosh, everyone, grab your life jackets and your binoculars and a spearhead because it is time for...
There's two of them across the creek at the big rocks.
Monster Watch. When we think of sea creatures dragging ships down to the icy depths of David Jones' locker, we usually think of sailors from the 1700s. But there was a much more recent Kraken attack that took place within our parents' lifetimes, and no one
you
ever told me.
You are rude as hell for bringing this to my
no
life.
No one even told me. In 1978... The USS Stein, a Knox-class destroyer of the United States Navy, was on a special operations mission in the Pacific Ocean. The Stein was a very unique ship at the time because it was equipped with the most state-of-the-art sonar equipment in the entire world. It had actually been deployed by the Navy to listen for sonar signatures of Soviet nuclear submarines. Ooh, I almost did a George W. Bush here. Soviet nuclear submarines at the height of the Cold War. But somewhere on its mission between Mexico and El Salvador, the USS Stein had a terrifying encounter. Out of nowhere, the ship was felt to rock violently from side to side. Like, the soldiers were flying across, people hit their heads, no one died, no one got hurt, but like it, the ship got fucking rocked. And immediately after, the ship's highly advanced sonar equipment stopped working. No matter what they did, they couldn't get it back on, which left them in a pretty serious sitch out there, not being able to see if anything was coming at them. Plus, their ship had suffered substantial damage to its surface just below the water line. So they even thought possibly they had been hit by something or attacked by something. They didn't know what to do, and they were in a real bad situation. So their only option was to just like slowly limp back to Long Beach, California and get repairs if they could make it. Well, they made it back pretty easy. And the repair crews got right to work, but they immediately noticed something cuckoo bananas. The rubber surface on the main sonar dome of the ship had been torn apart by what seemed to be giant claws or teeth. And as they inspected closer... Oh, we lost her. She's dead. R.I.P. Ladies and gentlemen, she died. She died on us.
This is, oh my gosh, gives me immediate just full body chills thinking of
it's a real bad
big claw. Okay.
As they inspected closer, they found curved hook like nails embedded deep into those claw marks, unlike anything they'd ever seen before. The enormous talons of what the fuck ever had torn the thick special rubberized coating that covered the USS Stein's sonar equipment to shreds and had damaged over 8% of the ship's surface. So,
what?
The large nails were removed. I know. What? No one told me. I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, why is no one talking about this? We should all be terrified.
This should be in every history book ever. This should be on the news nightly. The nightly news. Yep. They'd be like, and news. Before we go for the evening, before we let you go, after the weather, we will have a recap of the 1978 Kraken attack. Anyways,
the large Lester nails were removed. Should be covering this and warning me at all times.
They were removed for further study by a team of Navy biologists, and the first thing they took note of was that the claws were very similar to that of claws found on the suction cups of squid, but they were 5 times larger than any claws found on any squid ever seen up to that point in 1978. It ended up being confirmed that the hooks had come from some colossal squid-like creature, and given the size of the claws and the amount of damage to that the ship sustained and the amount of time that the ship sustained this damage in, they estimated whatever had caused the damage must have been over 150 feet long.
No. 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 I'm leaving. I'm leaving Earth. Goodbye. I have to go.
I'll finish this story, though. Alone here in my office. Just for reference, by the way, the largest squid we've ever found in the ocean was 46 feet long.
Well, then you fuck right off, Ashley. I'm not gonna sleep
tonight. I'm really sorry about this. She was a female that was captured by a New Zealand fishing boat in 2007 who had gotten trapped in the boat's large fishing nets. We know these creatures exist in the ocean. Even though we've only ever found about 6 of them. So for anyone saying a 100 to 150 foot squid is impossible, you got another thing coming. Because they're out there.
They're out there. They're waiting to attack.
Yeah, they're waiting for Lauren.
They're waiting for me, but all y'all should watch out.
But everyone should be aware. What's interesting about all these old Viking tales of squid attacks is that we now have some facts to back them up.
Okay.
Because larger squids have been documented attaching themselves to vessels on the sea surface as they approach the end of life, which is probably how old Legsy McGee got caught in that New Zealand fishing.
Legsy McGee.
It would definitely then make sense that if there really are 150-foot giant squid in the ocean and that this is a practice the species is known for, that yes, absolutely, they could have really rocked some Viking boats in their time.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. They're going to do some damage.
They're going to do some serious fucking damage. And I'm sure that was very, very, very scary to the men on these boats.
Yeah.
But they also, just to like further prove, the marks on the ship, on the Stein, matched up to the marks found on sperm whales, which are squid's only known predator. And experts believe that the two species have aggressive encounters pretty regularly. So that could also be an explanation of why they attack ships. They think they're whales.
Thought it was a big old whale, and they're like, yummy. Oh, I hate this. Tastes like garbage, but it's too late. I already destroyed a large portion of the ship. This tastes like boat. Tastes like boat. I'm not here for it.
So the Kraken is real. We have proof, and we've had proof since 1978. And yeah, no one's ever told you, and it should be on the news, on the nightly news, and it's not. And I'm sorry that the United States are down yet again.
I feel very let down. Thank you, Ashley, for reporting the truth and reporting the stories that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. I'm already afraid of the ocean, so like you're not going to catch me there anytime soon anyway. But between this story and I also nail in the coffin. I also saw the other day that orcas are now attacking and sinking boats more often as well, which like I totally understand that because we've been the worst to them forever. But it's like between that orcas sinking boats and knowing that the Kraken is out there, I'm all set. I'm not headed out to the ocean. Yeah, I'm all good. I will stay on land where things are scary here too. But I feel like I have a better handle on what's happening here than what is beneath.
You feel like you have a better handle on the species that exist?
I mean, no.
On hard ground?
Maybe. There still could be something lurking in a tree that I've never seen, but the depth of the ocean is something. Ooh, no, I can't even think about it.
I know. It's too much. We'll just move on.
We have to move on. Oh, yeah, because I have something fun to end on.
Yay.
I have a question. Oh, shoot. What's the thing for question? You had a cheer. Question.
You can't remember?
No.
Question, read all about it. Lauren's got a question and we're going to talk about it. Good question.
It came back. I needed a push, but it came back.
But it's there.
Okay. Question. Yes. Thank you for the cheer, Ashley.
Yes.
Question. You're here welcome. It is. Even though my computer just panicked. Here it is. Okay. And I can answer first because you might need a second to think about it. I may have gone too hard. You're someone who like I think has this planned out actually.
Okay.
You've been given the opportunity to create the half-hour TV show of your dreams, of your own design. You can be in charge, like producer, director, writer if you want. What is it called and what is the premise?
Damn.
So, if you want to just, like, think about it. Mine.
Yeah, you go first.
Mine would be called The Pre-K Prophet or The Montessori Medium. Because I would have a show about a preschool teacher by day and a medium / ghost hunter by night who she can go in and, like, solve crimes. She can go and, like, hear what's wrong with a building. Like, hear if anybody wants to talk to her in there. She can speak to loved ones if anyone wants that. But then during the day, she's just like, who wants some more glue? And she has a creepy badass friend who fits the part of medium or ghost hunter and is, like, always dressed in all black and is, you know, not like anyone I know in real life. This is just fake.
Yeah, this sounds really familiar.
But they're like a fun duo because she's just like, she'll show up and be like, all right, let's do this. Like probably smoking a cigarette. And then the main preschool teacher is like, let's go. Still as giddy as ever, but then is just like communicating with the dead or someone from another dimension. And the reason it fits into a half hour show, because yes, this could sound like an hour long ghosty drama. It's more comedy. It could even be a multicam sitcom. It's more like, oh, what has she gotten herself into this time type of show.
Wow.
And that is my stupid show that I'm excited about.
And that's your show. And it's called Pre-K. What is it called?
I haven't decided. The Pre-K Prophet, which Prophet feels too strong, but I was trying to think of things that like sounded good with Pre-K, but psychic.
Alliteration, for sure.
I know, because the alliteration goes with psychic, but I don't like Pre-K and psychic. That doesn't work for me. The Montessori medium, the Pre-K Prophet, because Montessori, I teach at a Montessori school. It's just, and that's where I'm at. But I welcome new titles.
Okay, so I have a premise for a show that I have always thought would be fun, but I don't have a name. So maybe I'll tell you the premise, and then you can help me come up with a name for it.
Okay.
I always thought, and here's the thing, there's a show right now called Ghosts. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. I haven't. I'm not caught up by any means, but I watched a few. Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't seen it. Please tell me if this is already the premise of a show.
Okay.
But I don't think it is, because no people can like see this happening. It's like two separate worlds. So the premise for my show is that basically ghosts exist around us all the time. They're always around. They share our dimension. It's just that we cannot see them. Sometimes we can sense them. Sometimes we can get a glimpse of them. There are even like psychics who can communicate with them, but we can't see them like they can see us.
Okay.
However, because they live in the same world as we do, they have to inhabit the same space that we do. But they're not allowed to like communicate with us, fuck with us, touch us, etc. So, say I live in this house, but there's also like a ghost that lives in this house. The ghosts can like sit and watch TV, but they have to watch what we're watching. And like if we go to sit down, yeah, they might not like the same TV programs. Like that, we might be loud, noisy roommates. We might be, you know, whatever, whatever. Like it's the luck of the draw. But there's like, it's like they have a government. They have their own world, essentially. They have a president. They have like all of this stuff, and they have rules. So like when there is a poltergeist situation, that's a fucking outlaw. And like their government, their police force is going to be after that poltergeist because they've broken the law. You're not allowed to fuck with our dimension. You're not allowed to touch us.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know what to call it, though.
I know. And also to answer your question, some elements of what you're saying are involved on the show Ghosts, but you are taking it a step further. I feel like having the government and more of the rules in place, but like still being stuck in our world. Like that makes it unique and more fun, honestly. So I like it, but I don't know
funny.
What it would
I thought it would be funny, like thinking of someone who's like, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV or whatever, and then like a person comes over to sit down, they have to like jump up and move out of the way because they don't want to like get like, sat on or like touch the person or get in trouble for like whatever.
Yeah, you can't cross the line.
But I don't have a good name for it. Listeners, what's a good name for this show?
Yeah, you have to write
and
in and help
I
us.
Should I write it?
I know. I'm like, also, I'm very excited about this. And our shows could have crossover. We'd be able to have a crossover ep.
They really could.
Because they the really pre-K prophet.
You know what? I think for now, like the working title is just going to be called Creeps.
Creeps! Because they're creeping around. We can't see them.
Because they're creeping around, and they give people the creeps, and they
sometimes
just,
I give
they're the creeps.
The creeps. The yeah, creeps. I like it. I like it a lot. Would you put yourself in your show that you wrote and directed?
I would never
wrote?
Put myself in any show, no.
No. I know, that's the thing, is even though absolutely I was describing not. Us, I wouldn't want us to be in it. Like, I think it would be so fun for us to be in the casting room and, like, pick our Lauren and Ashley, even though they're totally made up characters in my head and not based off real
they're totally
people,
made but up characters and definitely not based on anything in the real world.
But no, that would be the most fun to be like, who's gonna do it? Who would play me? Definitely Anne Hathaway.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Ooh, that does feel
wouldn't
right.
It be funny if we made this show and like we lost creative ability and they cast Anne Hathaway and that
oh, and
girl that I hate.
We always forget her
What's
name.
What's her name? I hate her so much that my brain blocks out her fucking name.
I know,
name.
From Community, from Love.
From Community and Girls and Love and blah. No. Probably would cast them. I think Jennifer Lawrence would be good casting for you because she's silly, but she also has that deep, raspy voice.
Totally.
We could dye her hair dark.
Oh, yeah.
Or blue.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence would be good. Would she agree to do a half-hour show? No, but I do think she'd be good. I don't know.
She's got a really bad movie coming out.
Okay. I was like, we can talk about this off the episode. It'll take too long. But I watched the trailer and was like, are you okay? But anyway, that's...
Are you okay? What's happening? You've won Oscars. Why are you doing this?
This is an easy answer, but for you in my show, I would want Aubrey Plaza or Jenna Ortega, like, easy, but also, I don't know, I feel like there could be a more under-the-radar person that comes along who we aren't ready for, but definitely, like...
You know who I was thinking of? And I don't know her fucking name. I'm a horrible person. But she was in Bates Motel. She was in Thoroughbreds. She was in that Ready Player One.
Yep. I know who you mean.
Mm-hmm. The fuck is her name? She's in the new Game of Thrones show, I think. Wow. Like, well, this is really good radio.
We've done really well at remembering people's names.
Yeah, we've done a really good job at remembering people's names. Listen, I'm hungry. I'm tired. This is all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird, okay? And I'm sorry to everyone whose name I forgot. I'm sorry that I wasn't at my best.
We're not that sorry.
We're not that sorry. That is all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for tuning in week after week, month after month, year after year. We love
you. We love you.
We really do appreciate every single person listening to this right now. Even if you don't donate to our Patreon, even if you don't follow us on social media, even if you don't give us 5 stars on iTunes or Spotify, the fact that you listen to our show continues to be the coolest gift that you could give us. But if you are wondering how you can support us in more ways than that, please head to www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast and learn how you can donate to our show and receive goodies every month like bonus episodes, discounts on merchandise, and a monthly newsletter. Consider taking the time to rate our show on iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is you listen to our podcast. If they have ratings, we will happily take one.
Please
like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can be the first to know when new videos are uploaded. And also, it just makes us look good, y'all. Mm-hmm. Make us look good.
Mm-hmm. Help us out.
Truly.
Please. Help your girls
out. If you can't monetarily help us out, you can always, always help us in other ways. Liking our posts, commenting on our posts and videos, telling your friends, retweeting us, posting new apps to different platforms like Reddit or Switch. I don't fucking TikTok. I don't know. I'm old, okay?
What do the kids use? We don't know. Do it there.
What are the kids doing? Do it there. Tag us in things. There are so many ways you can help your favorite shows to gain new listeners that don't include spending money.
That's right.
But speaking of money, dun, 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 the best things in life are free, but you can give them to the bees and bees. I want honey. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. It's Hive Mind.
I'll be honest, I didn't know where it was going. It's like, oh, interesting, she chose this song for Hive Mind, but I'll go with it, and then you delivered.
I also didn't know where it was going. Hi, it's Hive Mind. We're going to try and send a psychic message to each other using Zener cards. It didn't work out last week. It broke our streak, and now I do feel a little broken. My ego is a little
bruised. I don't feel confident, I'll be honest. I hate to go into it
this way. I don't feel
way,
confident. Yeah. But I feel like we can really center ourselves, mm-hmm. concentrate, let all the day's stress melt away, and Lauren is going to send me a secret symbol from the Xena card deck.
We can do
and
this.
Are you ready? I'm going to show you a card and not look at it.
Okay.
Got it? Okay, here we go. Circle.
Yeah.
Really? Circle message. That's what was like going through my head.
No. You're lying. Wait, you were thinking of the show The Circle?
Yeah.
Wait, like the what? The reality
is that
show?
What you were thinking?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not.
Really?
I just threw my glasses. I was literally like, I want to send her, because it's kind of like a neon vibe, which is our vibe. So I was imagining the circle, and I was like, think of the circle, the show on Netflix, and I was sending you a neon circle.
That is not fucking insane. Well, okay.
Not well.
So here's what happened when I closed my eyes. I closed my eyes. I immediately saw a circle. And in my head, I go, oh, no, that's the ring light. I'm not using a ring light. I'm using my makeup mirror that has like several lights on it.
I'm staring at a ring light.
I'm not using a circle ring light.
What if you were like seeing my eyes?
I mean, maybe. I can't see it though, especially since you threw your glasses. No, as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw a circle and I thought, no, it's not a circle. That's the ring light like messing with your eyes.
It wasn't.
And then I just kept concentrating, and I kept thinking circle message, which is what they always say when they're about to send a message on the circle.
All right, that one really creeped me out.
We are psychic.
That was great. I literally was thinking of the circle, and I was like, if I can just get her on that reality TV kick.
Jesus. You know what? Maybe that's what we need to do. Okay, so not just flashing. Think about something that you associate with it. Because remember not last episode, but the one before that, you were saying, I don't remember what the symbol was. Square? No, it was plus sign. You were thinking
it was plus
sign.
Ashley,
plus sign. Ashley, plus sign. Ashley.
Yeah.
And I got it. Like, I saw it clear as day.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah.
Guys, we're fucking psychic. I don't even know if we have to do this anymore. I think we've proven our point, but we'll continue to do it just so that maybe the scientific community will catch on and want to study our brains. And in the meantime, have a lovely week.
Keep
we love you so
weird.
Much. Keep it weird.
Love you, weirdos.